This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Late summer and early fall, as I understand it, are prime honey harvesting times. So there's a lot of local product hitting the stores, so it's a good time to talk about cooking and baking with honey. One of WPR's in-house foodies, Lori Skelton, has been experimenting, as always, this time with honey in the kitchen over the last few weeks, and she's here to share what she's learned. Lori, welcome back.
It's good to be here, especially about this topic.
Yeah, so I am always surprised at how much variety there is in the world of honey. I just think honey is a thing like white sugar or something. I am so very wrong.
Which is why I hit the Dane County Farmers Market a couple of weeks ago. I went to three different vendors and bought a jar of what they called wildflower honey.
Mm-hmm.
No difference, no specific flower, just wildflower honey. But it came from three different parts of the state. So just having everybody tasting the honey was three different tastes all together.
And so what kind of varieties did you find and the rest of our coworkers when they tried these three different wildflower honeys from Wisconsin?
Well, to start off with, closest to Madison is Marsden's in McFarland, which everybody said classic honey taste. Very sweet, had a butterscotch caramel note to it. This is what I associate honey with. You recognize Dale Marsden when you're on the square in Madison. He's the guy who's wearing the hat that looks like a beehive.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you go to Gentle Breeze in Mount Horeb, and they don't always have wildflower honey. Mm-hmm. When they do, you'll definitely notice it. It's one of the darkest honeys around. This is the one that everybody said reminded them of molasses, of ginger snaps. Somebody said this tasted almost like bourbon. And then from Boscobel, there was from San Cortez and Herbs, they do their wildflower honey with a little bit of the comb still in it, so there was some texture to it. Almost everybody talked about how flowery this one tasted. This one had even more of the outside in the jar than just sweetness. This was really surprising to a lot of people.
So it just depends on what flora is available in the wildflower community for these local bees to get at.
I of course was asking, when you say wildflower, are you talking native plants or are you just talking what happens to be in somebody's back garden? And there's a wide range. I have neighbors on my street who have hives. Mm-hmm. And they actually harvested a little bit of honey in early June. Pale golden color, delicate flavor. And then the honey they were harvesting 2 weeks ago, I mean, if it's based on the 30 flowers I had in my backyard to begin with, we're talking a real hodgepodge here.
All right. Well, I missed a lot of the honey tasting, but you brought one in to try today, and I'm going to give this a shot now.
Now, this isn't local.
It's not local. Oh, this is Italian.
This comes from Tuscany.
Okay.
One of the first times I ever tried cooking with honey in a savory recipe was something that was recommended for Tuscan fennel, and that is chestnut honey from Tuscany. I love this stuff. And if you've got an Italian grocery in your neighborhood, there's a good bet you'll be able to find this. If not, it's easy to order online.
All right, I'm taken aback by what I'm tasting. I mean, it's honey. Yeah.
But
there's a lot going on. So, I mean, like, there's so much variety. I mean, people get all, you know, wine expert on it. There's so much variety. Like, is there that level of difference and variation?
Absolutely. And as you're spending more and more time local, sustainable, and more people are starting to look into having hives of their own, it can be as fun as having a craft beer party if everybody shows up with their own jar of honey.
Wow. So honey is sweet.
Honey is
sweet. Newsflash, people. But you mentioned using it in savory dishes. What kind of savory dishes would we put honey in?
Everybody thinks of honey glazed carrots, but it's great on other vegetables as well. Fennel is a great one to start with. If you are a little bit unsure about using fennel, braise it with honey, and it's going to make a real difference to whatever protein you're serving it with. An easy way to get started is to take your protein and just use honey as the glaze to give it some moisture and sweetness. It's marvelous with salmon. It's marvelous with duck. And when I put out the call for give me some suggestions, a friend of mine says she does a version of meatballs that she discovered on the Ivory Coast, where she's got her ground meat mixed with red pepper flakes, garlic, peanuts, carrots, thyme, mint, marjoram, and then when the meatballs come out of the oven, she drizzles them with honey and lemon juice and serves it over rice.
Well, that sounds amazing. And I guess if I think about it, a lot of barbecue sauces have honey in them, so it's not as crazy as I thought it sounded.
Absolutely.
At first.
Oddly enough, one of the interesting things about a sweeter meat like duck or rabbit or a nice hefty salmon, it can sometimes play with additional sweetness without going overboard. And for something like that, this more savory honey, this chestnut honey that has that almost menthol aftertaste, buckwheat is another good one that is a little bit better for savory dishes. You can have a lot of fun experimenting.
And then getting away from the savories, you made some treats to try at WPR, some honey cakes. And by the way, we've got a recipe or two on the Central Time Facebook page. You made a loaf, a honey cake loaf.
Honey cakes are a traditional food served for Rosh Hashanah, which is
next week.
And I was checking with a lot of friends. Tell me about honey cake, your favorite. Almost everyone said, you know, it's traditional, but they usually turn out dry. They're not always the most pleasant to eat. So my focus was on finding recipes that wouldn't be dry. For the loaf version, I used a solid cup of that molasses-type honey, along with a little bit of spice, and you make it a couple of days ahead of time. Honey has this wonderful property in that it's hygroscopic. It pulls moisture from the air. So if you make it ahead a couple of days, it'll actually get a little less dry.
Weird.
And it was delicious. The texture was moist enough, but it wasn't heavy. But it still had a robustness. Again, I almost want to say it was rustic, especially when you contrast it to what I was absolutely shocked to find from a bunch of Australian Jewish cooks, a chiffon cake made with honey.
All right, tell us about that chiffon cake, yeah.
Now, one of the things you have to watch when you're baking with honey, especially if a recipe doesn't normally call for all of its sweetness, honey is acidic. So you have to add a little bit extra baking soda. You have to do something to leaven it. And this one, it actually called for self-rising flour, and it was half honey and half sugar. But oddly enough, you didn't taste any sugar. This cake, before it was glazed, had the lightest, almost a spongy texture to it, and the honey flavor just lingered in your mouth long after you took a bite. They suggested glazing it with lemon and confectioner's sugar. I actually preferred it without the glaze.
You know, it's interesting talking about baking with honey where the recipe doesn't call for it. I've had things where I think people just substituted honey for sugar, and it was not good.
When you're dealing with a really, really sweet honey, something that doesn't have a lot of complexity to it, it's maybe one specific note, you may want to dial back. Normally, you can substitute honey for sugar up to a cup. Once you get to a cup or more, you'll definitely want to dial it back, probably reduce it by 1/4 cup for every cup of sugar you would normally use. Honey does caramelize faster, so you might also want to turn your oven down about 25 degrees if your recipe doesn't originally call for honey.
And we mentioned Rosh Hashanah and the traditional honey cake. Is honey a staple ingredient, you know, in Jewish cooking?
Well, when you consider where a lot of Jewish cultures began, especially around the Mediterranean, you know, think about Greek cuisine and Turkish and North African. Wherever you're not going to find cane sugar, you're going to find honey. And there's another Rosh Hashanah tradition in addition to the honey cake. It's dipping apples in honey to wish for a sweet new year. Oddly enough, honey will do for cut apples and pears the same thing that lemon juice will do. It will prevent them from browning.
Because it's acidic, like you said.
And so if you want to make a fruit salad that holds its color, but you don't want to have the lemon or the lime flavor, go ahead and make a very weak honey water, and that should do it.
Well, that's brilliant. What a great tip to leave us with. Lori, thanks as always for joining us.
This was sweet. Lashana Tova.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies. And again, you can find the honey cake recipes over at the Central Time Facebook page. Make them. Bring them to Vilas Hall. You'll probably want to eat them yourselves. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.